Welcome to the podcast of Radius Church. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
Well, I want to welcome everyone to our fall missions emphasis. Twice a year, we focus on missions, and the reason for that is because sometimes it is so easy for us to enjoy all the blessings God has given us, but it's easy to forget about the reason we're still here on the planet. As Pastor Zach mentioned, what is the mission that we have? To help all people. And that all people isn't just all people in Casper. How many realize that? It's all the people in Wyoming, all the people in America, and all the people all around the world. Jesus said, go and make disciples of all the nations. We sang about it this morning. Every tribe, every tongue. Jesus wants to reign as king over all. And so we believe in giving to missions. On the back wall, by the globe map back there, we have our missionaries that we support. But those missionaries would not be able to be on the field if you and I did not give missions faith promises. And so this morning at the end of our service, we're going to give you an opportunity to give a missions faith promise. You all should have received a card that looked like this. If you didn't, we'll make sure you get one at the end of the service. We'll explain more about that. But we had some goals for this year, and our goal was to add 4 new missionaries and then also increase all of our Wyoming missionaries to $150 a month. And I'm happy to say that we have increased all of the Wyoming missionaries that we currently support to $150. And then we added one of those missionaries, which is Tristan Jepson. She and her husband Rich are Youth Alive missionaries. And we were able to add them. And they minister to students and help students set up campus groups on Wyoming campuses in our high schools and junior high. And we have the privilege this morning of having Tristan and her husband Rich and their family here with us. And we are so excited to have them. I wanted her to share because you and your faithful missions giving allowed us to bring them on. And our goal is to add the other 3 missionaries. And those 3 missionaries are, I cannot say their names because they're in sensitive countries. You can see their pictures. Their pictures are not being posted online. But there is a young lady in Africa ministering to a refugee camp that has 400,000 Muslims who are refugees inside of a Muslim nation, and they've never heard the gospel. We have 2 other families that are in Eurasia, and our goal is, and they too are ministering to countries that are predominantly Muslim, people that have not had the gospel. And so that is our goal. As you give your missions giving, then we are able to add these missionaries. And so we want you to be praying throughout the service and at the end of the service saying, God, what do you want me to give so that others around the world can have the same blessings that I have received? And I am excited to say that when we do the dessert auction and the donations, as you give donations for the spaghetti dinner, that is going to Speed the Light. What Speed the Light is, it's the National Youth Missions Program for the Assemblies of God. And our youth, as they give their money, it provides vehicles and equipment for our missionaries. And this year, the goal for all Wyoming churches is to get a trailer and also school supplies, or equipment, so that Tristan and Rich can do school assemblies, go into our schools and share the positive message. They can't overtly share the gospel, but they can have rallies at night that invite students to the real answer of how to find the meaning of life and reach the gospel. And so all that you give for the Speed the Light dessert auction and the donation for the spaghetti dinner is going to that. And at the close of the service, we're going to receive a love offering just for their ministry, not for their trailer, because how many know you need to live? You just can't travel and do ministry, but you need to live. So we're going to do a free will offering for them. But we are so thrilled to have Tristan and Rich here today. Can you give a warm Radius welcome to them this morning?
Good morning. So Pastor Craig introduced, but I'll also introduce myself. My name is Tristan Jepson, and my husband Rich is with me today, and we also have four kids. So three of them are in your kids program, hanging out and enjoying that thoroughly. And then we also have a baby. So we have Ben, who's 10, Alex, who's 6, Erilyn, who's 3, and then Lincoln, who's 6 months old. So we are busy people, but it's good. It's awesome. So kids are fun. Crazy, but fun. So we have been the Youth Alive missionaries in Wyoming for about a year and a half. And we moved here from Oregon. I youth pastored and Next Gen pastored for a total of 8 years. So working with students, felt God specifically call us to Youth Alive and to Wyoming. And so we said yes. And it was a bit of a, you know, anytime you say yes to God's plan, it's a little crazy, but it was good. And we were here and we're doing the thing, hanging out with students, and we love it. There's four core components of Youth Alive, just so that you know what it is. The first one is prayer mobilization. We want students and leaders and churches to pray for the next generation. Our next one is campus missionaries, and that's really a lot of the building blocks, because like Pastor Craig alluded to, a lot of campuses are closed to the gospel, to adults, but they are totally open to students. Students are protected, and they have rights that they can share their faith on the campus. So helping equip students to know how to do that, to not just survive school, but to make it their mission field, to recognize that. And the next one is movements. So that's a student-led faith space. Can look like a club on a public campus. Homeschool students run them too, sometimes in coffee shops, or homeschool students who are part of a extracurricular activity sometimes will do that. And it's a student-led faith space where students who may otherwise not initially go to youth group or church can be invited to a space where they can learn about Jesus on the campus. So that's movements. And then our last one is outreaches. And so that's primarily what the trailer will help us do. So that'll be equipment to help do larger scale events to make the gospel known. And so that sometimes looks like partnering with a club to do an outreach on their campus. Because what's cool about clubs is it gives them the right to do any right they give to another club, students can use for the sake of the gospel, which is awesome. And so we can come and say, hey, we'd love to help you do that. We'd love to magnify the gospel, make it bigger. Things that students would want to do on their own but might not have the equipment to do, we can come alongside and say, hey, we'd love to help with that. And then the other one is directly working with schools and answering the felt needs that schools have. Schools have a lot of felt needs like bullying and character issues and things like that, and mental health. And so we're able to connect directly with public schools and meet those needs and then invite students out to a rally where they can get their true need met in the gospel. And so that's kind of what Youth Alive is. And we love it. We love walking alongside students and leaders and churches. I love getting to see students start to use their gifts. That's like my favorite thing, is people using their gifts. And this is it. That's Youth Alive, is helping students find their gifts, use them, and be on God's mission. And so it's been awesome. Thank you. Thank you so much for supporting us, for making it so that we can do what we do. There's a handful of Wyoming churches who jumped in even before we got a chance to come and present Youth Alive, who have such a heart for the next generation that they started financially supporting us before we even got to come and like meet you guys face to face. And you guys are one of them. And we're so thankful for your heart, for generosity and missions and the next generation. You guys are amazing. Thank you for cultivating generosity in the next generation. Thank you for supporting your students as they give to Speed the Light. They couldn't do it without you. You guys lead the way in that. So thank you for that. We're going to watch a quick video on Speed the Light.
Since 1944, Speed the Light has been bringing essential transportation to missionaries all around the world. This transportation has equipped our missionaries to reach millions of people who otherwise would never get to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Thanks to the giving of Assemblies of God teenagers, over $325 million has been given towards Speed the Light. Now in our 75th year, we believe it's time to think bigger, to think unconventionally. Speed the Light is partnering with organizations across the globe to not only bring missionaries the transportation and equipment they need, but to partner with them to further the ways they bring the gospel to the lost. Organizations like Convoy of Hope, that brings hope and relief after the world's biggest disasters. Free International, who daily goes into cities like Las Vegas and fights human trafficking. Chi Alpha, that brings faith into college campuses during such a critical time of students' lives. And so many more ministries that are reaching people in unconventional ways. We are so thankful for the way God has used Speed the Light over the last 75 years to equip missionaries to do what God has called them to do. And we are so excited for these new, unconventional ways God is bringing the gospel to people where they are. Whether that is a CrossFit gym in the Middle East, a cafe in Europe, a rural village in the Amazon, a college campus here in the U.S., or even the site of a natural disaster, we believe God is equipping us in unconventional ways to reach those who otherwise would never have the chance to hear. In what ways can you give and be a part of this unconventional movement? We can't do it alone. Help us speed the light to a world of darkness. The last 75 years were amazing, and we know that together, the next 75 will be even greater.
So again, thank you. Thank you for giving to Speed the Light and supporting missions. We are honored, super honored, to receive be a Speed the Light project. So as a youth pastor, our students gave weekly to Speed the Light. And now being on the other side of it as a missionary is like, it's just humbling and amazing to have students support God's mission. So thank you for doing that. And your giving does more than just empower me to plant seeds, although it does do that, but it really equips and empowers students to plant seeds on their campus and to help them to feel like they can do this. So through your giving, you're a part of planting seeds that you may never actually see the fruit of this side of heaven. That's really what supporting missions and living missionally is about. It's planting seeds. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about sowing seeds. We get to do that with our resources, our giving, our words, and our actions. Are any of you guys gardeners? Yes. Okay. Would you say, it's like my main, I have a green thumb. Does anybody have a greenhouse? Because I feel like that's gardening to the next level. Right? Do you have a greenhouse? Nice. See, there's like me gardening, which is not impressive. Okay. The important thing about is knowing your gifts and recognizing, you know, you can't have all of them. Gardening is not my gift. Some people have greenhouses and some people have starter plants. Okay. Right. I don't even do seeds because that is a lot of trust that something is happening and I haven't killed it. I like to be able to see that something is going on. Like, at least that way, if it's died, I know, right? And so I tried gardening, and it's been a struggle. But it's slowly, slowly getting better. So I may have to hit you guys up for some tips and tricks. Last year's tomatoes, we planted tomatoes, only tomatoes. That was it, right? How hard could that possibly be? Well, you'd be surprised. So they grew, and they actually had fruit on them, but they never turned red. And I thought, that's problematic. And they were supposed to. They were not like green tomatoes. They were supposed to turn red. And so I did what anyone who doesn't have a greenhouse does. You Google it. And evidently, they need sun. And I had planted them in the shade. And big problem. It didn't work out. So we moved them this year. This year, we planted them in a different spot. We actually planted lettuce where they used to be. Lettuce likes shade. Who knew? And so we planted lettuce and onions and some peppers, and we planted strawberries, but birds ate them, so that was unfortunate. But we actually had some tomatoes turn red this year because the environment they're planted in matters, right? And so they turned red, and this year was a ton better. And gardening is just kind of odd to me. It's in theory, it's really simple, right? You just have soil, water, and a seed or a starter plant, right? And then it just kind of happens on its own. We get to be involved with nurturing and caring for and creating that environment, but it just happens, right? It just grows on its own. And similarly, there's a similar simplicity, but also mystery to how seeds of the gospel take root in a person's life. Ultimately, it's God who's already drawing people to himself, but he partners with us. He uses us to prepare soil and prepare an environment, help to nurture and care for plants. But ultimately, it's God who does the work. Jesus tells a story to a crowd in the Gospels about a sower, or some translations say a farmer. We're going to open to Luke chapter 8, starting at verse 4. I'm going to read out of the NLT. You can read out of whatever you have. Luke 8:4. One day, Jesus told a story in the form of a parable to a large crowd that had gathered from many towns to hear him. A farmer went to plant his seed. As he scattered it across his field, some seed fell on a footpath where it stepped on, and the birds ate it. Other seed fell among rocks. It began to grow, but the plant soon wilted and died for lack of moisture. Other seed fell among thorns that grew up with it and choked out the tender plants. Still other seed fell on fertile soil. This seed grew and produced a crop that was 100 times as much as had been planted. When he had said this, he called out, "Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand." His disciples asked him what this parable meant. He replied, "You are permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of God, but I use parables to teach the others so that the scriptures might be fulfilled. When they look, they won't really see. When they hear, they won't understand. This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is God's word. The seeds that fell on the footpath represent those who hear the message, only to have the devil come and take it away from their hearts and prevent them from believing and being saved. The seeds on the rocky soil represent those who hear the message, receive it with joy, but since they don't have deep roots, they believe for a while. Then they fall away when they face temptation. The seeds that fell among the thorns represent those who hear the message, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the cares and riches and pleasures of this life. And so they never grow into maturity. And the seeds that fell on the good soil represent the people who hear God's word, cling to it, and patiently produce a huge harvest. God, thank you for your word. Lord, thank you that it's active, that you are at work. God, and I pray that this morning your word would come alive to us. Lord, would we learn to sow with our actions, with our lives, with our words. We need you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we read in this parable that there are four types of soil. Essentially, there's one good type of soil and three different bad ones. One that birds came and stole away from, one that was rocky and they weren't able to grow roots, and one thorns came in and choked them out. And Jesus then explains what they are to us. He explains that the soil is people. It's us. Yeah, it's our lives. He then goes on to explain the things that can stop a person's faith from taking root long term. And most likely, we're all super familiar with this parable. Many of us have heard it before. Many of us have read it. But also, many of us have lived it. We have probably seen seed that took root and flourished in someone's life. Our own, a friend, a family member. But if we're transparent, we've also seen seed that, for whatever reason, didn't grow. Maybe you can look back, hopefully you can, and remember what kind of seed, what it was like when seed was first planted in your own life. Because this is the story of all of us, right? We have all had a dirt past. And I don't necessarily mean that, you know, a messy past, although that's probably true. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But what I mean is that at some point in most of our lives, someone shared God's word with us. A seed was planted. Or, in most cases, probably several seeds. They say that on average, it takes a person seven times of hearing the gospel before they gain the faith to put their hope and their trust in Jesus. And that's an average. So for many, it's much more, right? Some, it's the first time that they hear about Jesus. Hopefully, in your life, it took root and it had an environment in which it grew and is still growing. If you grew up in a home that followed Jesus, then maybe it was your dad or your mom that shared Jesus with you. Maybe it was a grandparent or an uncle or a friend or a Sunday school teacher. Maybe it was an invitation. I didn't grow up in a Christian home. I didn't know Jesus. And when I was a freshman in high school, so I was about 15, I had a friend who invited me to church. And I heard about Jesus. And the first time they invited me, I said yes. The first time I heard about Jesus, I said yes. I'm one of the rare ones, I guess. I'm that low side of the average for the first time. And that just reminds us, some people are ready. God is working in people's lives. Some people are ready. And some people in a lot of our lives aren't ready yet, right? Seed has been planted and we're just waiting. But in comparison, my six-year-old Alex, I remember when he was three, I mean, my kids have grown up now because I know Jesus and I married someone who knows Jesus. Like, they grow up in an environment, in an atmosphere where that's all they've known. That's all they've known is their mom and their dad praying for them, their mom and their dad reading scripture to them and teaching them. And so when we went to a prayer meeting at the church we used to be a part of, they did like a week of prayer. And it was just an hour each night to just pray in January, just like for the new year and stuff. And we brought our three-year-old, at that point he was three, to the prayer meeting, and our Ben as well, but primarily the story is about Alex. So we brought him, and when you bring a three-year-old to a prayer meeting, who knows, right? It could go many directions. And there was just music. There wasn't really a guided time in prayer for this part, and I was just praying at the altar, and Alex, I think, had been climbing under chairs, classic three-year-old things. And he came up to me and sat down next to me. And Alex has always been just a kid with a lot of questions. And he sat next to me, and he wanted to know more about Jesus. And he wanted to know more about the cross. And so when he was three at the altar during a prayer time, I got to lead little Alex to Jesus. You know, and so my story of what it looked like and Alex's story and our environments that we were in and your story are all so different. But the same is true. The seed is planted, and God wants it to take root. And eventually, Lord willing, Alex's relationship with Jesus will grow to a point where he won't just be a small plant, right? But he will join Jesus on his mission to start sowing seed himself, getting to create an environment for our kids to receive Jesus and grow and mature in faith is one of the greatest privileges and responsibilities we have as parents. And there comes a time where a life cycle of discipleship happens, where Alex won't just only be a hearer of the word, but he'll become a doer in a very real, very missional way. That's what we're believing for all of our kids. Because even though we all start as soil, our lives are soil, and we're sowed into with the gospel, we're not meant to stay there. We are called to sow. And while Jesus told this story to a large crowd, he explained it in depth to his disciples. And we, as his disciples, people now following Jesus, we become like him and we begin to do what he did. When the disciples heard this, they probably saw themselves in the soil, but they also probably saw themselves in the sowing. Because that's what Jesus had called them to do. That's what they've been seeing Jesus do. The soil in the parable is us, but when we decide to follow Jesus, the sower, the farmer, is also us. We are called to sow. John 14:12 says, I tell you the truth. This is Jesus speaking. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done and even greater works because I am going to be with the Father. Luke 19:10 says, for the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost. And then Jesus would later on commission his disciples, telling them to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all of the commands I have given you, and promising us that he's always with us. We're not called just to be hearers of the word, but we're instructed to be doers. We spread hope and we look for opportunities to share the gospel. We become sowers. We're not just consuming seed. Now we are spreading seed. We're sowing seed. And you know, I looked at this teaching of Jesus differently once I realized and recognized God's call for all of us to be like him, to sow seeds. The parable of the sower hits differently once you realize that God wants all of us to be a part of the sowing process. In this parable, the disciples are getting a heads up that sowing is hard work. And actually, some of their efforts might feel wasted, right? They're sowing all the seed. The farmer is sowing all of this seed, but rocks and birds and thorns are all preventing them from taking root. And what's interesting is that Jesus doesn't instruct them, like, guys, maybe you should, maybe this farmer should check and see what kind of soil it is first. Like, don't waste the seed. But he just tells them what it is, how it's like. He doesn't scold the farmer for wasting seed. He doesn't suggest that the disciples stop and check because no man knows a person's heart. You don't. We just don't know what God is doing in a person's heart. We can't see with physical eyes. We don't know how many seeds it's going to take, but we just know that God is working. God is working in hearts, in lives, in ways that we can't see. He prepares the soil. And looking back on your life, much like I can, you can probably recognize times now. It's easier in the rearview mirror to see times that God was preparing your soil. I remember before being invited to church, I had people who helped, that God used to make my heart ready. I believe that's why I said yes the first time, is because God had planted people in my lives. I had people who asked me, what youth group do you go to? And I said, I don't go to youth group. I didn't even know what that was. And they didn't invite me, they just asked. And it just piqued a curiosity. It was people that I respected, people that were kind, and something about them, even just talking about Christian things, God used even that small thing to help make me ready when the time was right. I remember back farther, being a third grade girl and having a friend who invited me to every third grade girl's dream, Christian horse summer camp. Okay, I'd never been to summer camp at all, so that sounded pretty cool. Horse summer camp, like, yes. And then I didn't know what Christian meant, but I thought, like, if it has to do with horse summer camp, I'm pretty sure I'm in. But I couldn't, it was really expensive, so I couldn't go. But even having a friend, someone that I spent time with, someone who was nice to me, someone who I enjoyed being around, sharing even small things like that, God used that. I remember back when I was about six, I remember there was a couple that my parents knew. They, their names were Alice and Nick Linebarger, and we were really, really poor. We lived in a motor home at that point, and it just kind of went wherever my parents needed to go. And they, Alice and Nick, had kids that were older than we were, and so they would sometimes bring by stuff that their kids didn't need anymore for us, for my sister and I. And sometimes it was magazines and things, mostly it was magazines, like Highlights Kids magazines, and we loved it. And I remember thinking, like, these are the nicest people I've ever met. Like, I remember even as a little kid being kind of like, there's no way they're like this all the time. There just isn't. And one day, when Alice brought a box of magazines, on the top of it was a brand new children's picture story Bible. And I loved that thing. I read it all the time. I remember looking at the pictures. I remember, I loved the story of Noah. I loved the creation account. I never got past Genesis because, you know, maybe my attention span, I'm not sure. But I it was something that God used to start to prepare my heart. I wish I still had it, but I definitely don't. But God uses people, and sometimes seemingly insignificant things to prepare our lives, to sow seeds and to be light to us. Jesus continues on after the parable of the sower in the next verse. He does not change audience. He does not change topic even. He says this, Luke 8:16, still talking to his disciples, "No one lights a lamp and then covers it with a bowl or hides it under a bed. A lamp is placed on a stand where its light can be seen by all who enter the house." Jesus transitions from talking about sowing seed or sharing the gospel through the imagery of seeds to now through light all the time, everywhere, no matter what. Of course, it'd be foolish to put a light under a basket or under a bed. It's similarly foolish for us to hide our lights, just like we sow seed everywhere, all the time, even when we don't know what it's going to look like at the end result. We do it anywhere. We shine our lights everywhere. And when we think about putting a light under a basket or a desk, maybe we think of like a desk lamp under a laundry basket or under some sort of a blanket. I don't know what you think of. Maybe you imagine a flashlight, or maybe you imagine your phone flashlight covered. But lamps during Jesus' time were clay lamps that burned oil. Not only does covering it totally defeat the purpose of having it lit, but what happens when you cover fire? It's going to go out. It is not just going to be pointless, but it's also going to be very likely extinguished. We are always supposed to sow seed and shine our light. So how do we do it? What does it look like? If I could encourage you, I'd say to prep with prayer. Start by praying. Nothing prepares soil like prayer. Nothing prepares soil like the Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says to never stop praying, which is just good anyway, but when we're specifically talking about reaching lost people, we need the help of the Holy Spirit. We need the person, the one who is drawing people to Jesus, who is bearing witness to Christ. In Proverbs, we read that God can turn the heart of kings, and he can also soften the people around us, the hearts of those people that are around us. And God takes seriously the prayers of those who intercede. We see in Exodus, Moses intercede on behalf of the Israelite people countless times. And we see in Isaiah, God wonder. He sees the messed up state of his people, and then he wonders that there's no intercessor. Why? Why is no one praying for these people? God wants to partner with us to accomplish his purposes. And I used to think that intercessory prayer was like a spiritual gift, that a few people have it, right? Some people are prayer warriors and some people aren't. But Scripture doesn't list prayer as just a spiritual gift for a few. It lists it as a weapon and a protection for all believers. Paul lists the armor of God and the sword of the Spirit in Ephesians 6 and then says, pray in the Spirit at all times on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. When we do Youth Live trainings with students, we try to teach them this. We try to get them to understand the role of prayer, the role of the Holy Spirit. It's not just us. We partner with what God is already doing. So to sow effectively, we prep with prayer. That's how we help soften that soil. But we also stay connected to Jesus ourselves. We can't share a hope we don't have. It's like that thing that they tell you every time you get on an airplane, to put on your own oxygen mask before you help those around you. We have to stay connected. We have to let him be the air we breathe. And this has to be intentional. We have to recognize that there are still, much like those seeds being planted in our lives, there are still things that would try to get in the way of our faith growing. Just like those seeds were attacked, we have a very real enemy that intends to steal and kill and destroy. His cares of this world can pop up and distract. Things can get difficult. We have to stay spiritually healthy. We have to make sure we're still growing. We have to prioritize our own spiritual health and spiritual growth. We don't want to be a tomato that never turns red. Our environment matters. We have to prioritize that. Jesus instructs us in John 15 to abide, to stay connected to the vine, and vines connected to the tree bear fruit. And that's our next way we share the gospel. We sow seed. So we prep with prayer. We stay connected to Jesus, and then we let demonstration lead to proclamation. Our lives and our words and our actions, our speech should all demonstrate the gospel. One way to sow seeds is to let them be wrapped in their natural container. What does that mean? Galatians 5, 22 through 23 reads, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Fruit contains seeds. It's actually the primary characteristic. It's the defining thing that makes a fruit is seeds. It contains seeds. John 13, 35 says, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. It's that love and that care that makes the soil accepting to seeds. And when we are connected to Jesus, the Holy Spirit produces them in our lives, the fruit of the Spirit. And that kind of fruit, a fruit of the Spirit kind of fruit, can prepare soil for the seeds of the gospel. We sow with our lives and with our actions, but we also have to sow with our words. We have to. Demonstration is good, but let it lead to proclamation. Fruit of the Spirit in our lives is very good, but it's not just kindness for kindness' sake. It's not just joy for the sake of joy. The point is Jesus. The point is the hope of Jesus eternally and the promise of Jesus with us now. That's what people need. Proclaiming Jesus and the hope of the gospel is necessary. There are a lot of kind people, I would say nice people, who don't know Jesus at all. There's a lot of very patient people. You could run into a super patient person at like Loaf and Jug and be like, they're patient, you know, but it doesn't mean they know Jesus. It's not just fruit for the sake of fruit. It's fruit for the sake of sowing seeds of the gospel. We have to follow up demonstration with proclamation. I was impacted by the lives of Christians who exhibited the fruit of the Spirit, who God used to help make me ready. But someone had to tell me. Someone had to invite me. Sure, God used kindness and love and joy to help me be open to the gospel, but someone had to share Jesus with me. The Apostle Paul writes in Romans 10, 14 through 15, how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they've never heard? And how can they hear about them unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? They have to hear in order to believe. We have to be both a sending people and a sent people. Maybe you're not sent to Africa or Switzerland, but you are called to sow seeds and shine light where you're at. So to sow seeds, we prep with prayer. We stay connected. We let demonstration lead to proclamation, and we don't give up. Because God is working even when we can't see it. Even when we can't see that seed growing, he's still working. Galatians 6, 9 says, let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. You know, I always choose starter plants instead of seeds, but we can't do that in people's lives. We can't. God grows, and it starts as something small that we can't see, and there is an element of faith where we can't see it. Just because we can't see that a seed is growing doesn't mean it isn't. And just because some seed might fall on infertile soil doesn't mean we shouldn't sow. Keep scattering seed. Keep shining your light. Stay close to the Lord. Continue letting your life bear fruit, and that fruit will sow seeds and give you an opportunity to share the gospel. Tell about the things you have seen and heard Jesus do. Proclaim the gospel with boldness. We have to trust that just like God prepared your soil and my soil, he's preparing the people we come in contact with. And hopefully this takes some of the pressure off. God is already on this. This isn't our mission that we made up somehow because we thought it was a good idea. God's mission is to reconcile a world to him, and we get to be a part of it. He's already working. He's already on this. God already loves your neighbor. God already loves your boss. God already loves your teacher. He's already working. God is in control. And sometimes we get to be the ones who see a harvest, and sometimes we don't. When I was 15, I met Jesus, and I started a life, a journey of learning what that meant to follow him. And it completely, completely changed my life. Like, I know you can say that, and it just, you can hear it, but it radically transformed who I am. I had grown up in a family where you can call it a generational curse, you can call it baggage, you can call it a legacy, but the legacy I lived with was anger and abuse and addiction. But Jesus fully transformed my life, and not just my life, but my family's life. My kids do not have to carry that baggage that I carried, all because of Jesus. Because of Jesus, the life that my kids know is not the life that I knew growing up. That is not my story or their story. My heart was totally transformed. And I'm delivered of that potentially being my future, but I'm also healed of that having been my past. I'm healed from the bitterness and the anger that I don't have to carry anymore. I found hope, real hope, that can't be found anywhere else. I found Jesus at 15. I felt a call into ministry, and I said yes, and I began youth pastoring a group of students. And some of my students attended a Christian school, and so I went to their graduation. And when I was there sitting, cheering for them, right, at the end, they were giving away scholarships, right, because Christian schools are expensive. And so they were giving away scholarships to next year's class. And they said, and I'll never forget it because it just gave me chills, but they said, we'd like for you to introduce, or they said, we're going to introduce the recipient of the Alice Leinbarger Scholarship. And I was like, I have not heard that name in so long. like at all. And that was that lady. That was the woman who gave me that picture story Bible. And I just, she gave me like a little six-year-old girl a Bible. And here I am now, a youth pastor with my students at a Christian school. Well, now she passed death. Beyond her memorial is providing money for students to come and be a part of a Christian school who couldn't afford it. She sowed with her actions. She sowed with her words. She sowed with what she had, and she was continuing to do so. And what's crazy is she never knew. She never knew this side of heaven that what would come of that. She never knew. I never really saw her again. She didn't know that I would become a youth pastor and pour into students. She would never know that I would lead my three-year-old son to the Lord at the altar. She never knew. She wouldn't know that I get to, now just like she gave me a Bible, that I get to give students a Bible that they get to take onto their campus. You know, summer camp, we got to give away 100 Bibles. And if it wasn't for that seed planted in my life, there's no way I would get to be a sower now, to join on God's mission. God calls us all to take that step, to change in a life cycle of discipleship, to not just be one who is just receiving seed, but to join him on his mission. And trust that even though we can't see it, even though we don't know what it's going to look like, that God is good. God is so good. If you would stand, I'd love to pray for you. And just, I would invite you to respond. Whatever it looks like in your life, to start sowing with your words, with your actions, with your resources. If you have a kid's Bible, find a neighbor and give it to them and trust that the Lord is working. God, I thank you for the things you do, seen and unseen. Lord, thank you for these people in this place at this moment. Thank you that you know each one. And if there's anyone in this room who hasn't made a confession of faith, Lord, I pray that right now would be their moment, God, where they would change from darkness to light, from death to life. And Lord, just like you did a work of restoration in my heart, would you start that same work that you've promised in theirs? Lord, would you call each of us to sow in our own unique way? And would you move, Jesus, move in your people? In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
You have been listening to the podcast of Radius Church in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please check us out at radiuschurch.life or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation.